We're thankful you've had a chance to remain with us here this morning. We'd like to go to John chapter 6. We've been making our way through that chapter verse by verse during my time on the program, and we left off in verse 51 during our last message as Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So now we'll pick this up here in verse 52, and the Jews respond to this, and they said in verse 52, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, for he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." So Jesus goes back to the thought that he's been interlacing throughout this entire exchange here in John chapter 6, of him being the living bread which came down from heaven. And he says at the end of this verse, in verse 51, that if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And this was very confusing to the Jews that he spoke with. They said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? As was the case with so many times as Jesus interacted with people here in his earthly ministry, Jesus is speaking on a spiritual level, but men are understanding this on a natural level. We see this here, but we also see this with his disciples many times as well. We see it with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus said you need to be born again, and Nicodemus, thinking on a solely natural plane, asked, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? I can't physically do that. Well, Jesus was talking in a spiritual way, and people were confused because they were understanding it in a natural sense. And the Jews said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? He can't just take off his arm and give us to eat. And not to mention, that would be against our Mosaic law that was given to us by the Lord anyway. And Jesus attempts to clarify this from verses 52 to 58, and that's what we want to focus on this morning. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, as we make our way through the rest of these verses, we want to hopefully properly distinguish and properly rightly divide the words of Jesus here. And I think it should be very reasonable from the reading of this text that Jesus is not speaking quite literally about someone eating his flesh and drinking his blood. There are too many condemnations in the Old Testament of the drinking of blood that was forbidden by the Lord, and certainly the eating of flesh or cannibalism is contrary to the scriptures and contrary to the commandments of God. So a literal interpretation of someone physically eating the flesh of the Son of God and physically drinking his blood is not in accordance with the rest of scripture. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But I believe that it's necessary because some in the Christian community do take these verses to be so literal that they view it as necessary for men and women to physically partake of the flesh and the blood of the Son of God to be saved, that I believe it's necessary for us this morning to consider the proper interpretation, but also distinguish of the fact that this is not a literal interpretation as many of our friends in the Christian community take it to be. Particularly, the Catholic Church partakes in what they consider to be the Holy Eucharist. And actually, that word Eucharist comes from the Greek word that's translated thanksgiving or giving of thanks in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, as it is referencing the partaking of the Lord's Supper there in the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "When he had given thanks and he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, for this is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped," speaking of Jesus, making these references, "when he had supped, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now, Jesus did use the language, even as he was originally instituting the Lord's Supper, that this is my body, but clearly that was not his physical body. That unleavened bread was a representation of the body that would be broken for the children of God upon the cross. And in the same way, the wine that was in the cup that was on the table due to the Jewish Passover, as he gave it to his disciples, he said, drink this, and you remember as you're drinking this wine that I am shedding my blood for the remission of your sins. Now, Jesus was speaking spiritually. He was speaking figuratively. He was not speaking literally. He was not saying that you partake of my body and you partake of my blood. I'm going to wring out some of my blood, or this is going to turn into my blood, or it's going to turn into my body or my flesh, and you're going to eat of it. And unless you eat of that body and drink of my blood, then you cannot be saved and you're not a child of God. That is too literal of an interpretation to be in accordance with what Jesus meant here. So our friends in the Catholic Church would partake of the Eucharist, and they have a doctrine in relation to the Eucharist that is known as transubstantiation. And you'll notice from that word, trans means to change. Substantiation, the root word of that is substance. So that doctrine would say that as they partake of the unleavened bread and of the wine, that it literally changes form when it goes into your body. You might drink it as wine, but when it goes into your mouth and when it goes into your body, it changes its substance. Transubstantiation, it changes its substance and it physically changes in your mouth to the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason that they have developed that incorrect perspective is due to a very rigid and literalistic interpretation of here in John chapter 6, where he says, unless you physically eat of my body and you physically drink my blood, you have no part with me. Now, just on its surface, that fact of the transforming of wine into the blood of Jesus Christ and the transforming of bread into the body of Jesus Christ when it reaches your mouth, that just doesn't make logical sense. But furthermore, if that was the case, then that would have been the case the first time that Jesus instituted this Lord's Supper with the apostles. So this is the Son of God standing before men, before these disciples, and he is telling them to physically eat of his flesh, but yet his body had not been broken for the sins of his people yet. And he's telling them to drink of his blood, but his blood has not been shed yet. It's very important to understand that the blood of Jesus Christ was not shed until the cross, because it was the cross, not in Gethsemane, but on the cross, was where his redemptive blood was shed that saved his people from their sins. But this would imply that Jesus' blood was in some way shed, or it physically made its way into that cup and they drank of that cup, and they were drinking of the blood of Jesus Christ before that blood was actually shed for the remission of sins. And that doesn't make any sense. The same way with his body. His body was physically broken, and they're going to partake of his body that was broken for them before it was actually broken for them. The chronological sequence doesn't make any sense for the apostles to be partaking of his body and of his blood before the cross. But furthermore, in the Old Testament, we're told that the blood is the life of man. And because of that, we are forbidden from the shedding of innocent blood, but we're also forbidden from drinking blood. The nation of Israel was in the Old Testament, that is. God tells Noah in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 9, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb which I have given all things. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Surely your blood of your lives will I require, and at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, in the image of God made he man. So he says in verse 4 that blood is the life of the man, and therefore you should not eat of it. We see the same prohibition later on during Moses' day for the drinking of blood and the giving of the Mosaic Law too. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 10, "Whatsoever man there be in the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and I will cut him off from among his people." And this continues on for quite a few different verses with some very severe condemnations for those that drink or eat of blood. And certainly it would be the same if you're physically eating of a man's flesh, then there would be blood in that flesh. So obviously by implication, it's also forbidden for you to be eating of the flesh of any man because blood would be in the flesh of that man. So God has said that the blood is the life of the man, and therefore you are forbidden, Israel, from drinking of the blood. It's certainly true that we're not bound by the Mosaic Law here today, but obviously God had an opinion about the drinking of blood, and I don't think that opinion changed during that upper room when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. It's still forbidden for man to eat of physical man's flesh and drink of physical man's blood. And I would also add, in Acts chapter 15, in the Jerusalem Council, after they reaffirmed that salvation is solely by the grace of God, they also gave some other practical admonitions to the New Testament church to not eat meats offered to idols. And it specifically says there in Acts chapter 15 as well, to not eat or drink blood. So this is not just an Old Testament commandment. This is a New Testament commandment as well, that we should not be eating blood. So it's simply incompatible with both the Old Testament and the New Testament for us to be physically drinking the blood of Jesus Christ, because it would be in direct opposition to these scriptures that we've considered. But I think the more appropriate point is that God is adamant that blood is the life of the body. And we know from John chapter 14 and many other places that Jesus is described as what? He's described as the life. So when he's saying, when you partake of my blood, when you drink of my blood, he's saying that you are partaking of me as your only life source. Because, you see, without blood, we don't have any means of sustaining life. You can be brain dead and still be alive, your physical heart still be pumping, but it's when that blood quits pumping in your heart, and it's when your blood quits pumping in your body, that's when you die. So you see, blood is our life-sustaining force and substance in our life, and I feel like that's what Jesus is portraying here, that I am the life. He's simply saying in another way, I am the life, the only hope of eternal life for the children of God. In verse 54, Jesus said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, Jesus is not saying here that I've got my flesh laying in front of you, I've got my blood laying in front of you, and whosoever, if anyone wants to just pick up my flesh and pick up my blood, then he can partake and earn eternal life by performing that action. Now, what he's saying is that the person who eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life. We've already seen from earlier in this chapter, verse 47 and a couple other references as well, that those that believe hath eternal life. They are in possession, the current possession of eternal life. And I believe what Jesus is simply teaching here by saying those that eat his flesh and drink his blood, those that believe that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, they believe in the flesh of Jesus Christ. I think that's what he's referring to by eating his flesh, that they believe that God was manifest in the flesh and became a man to suffer for their sins. And then also they believe that the blood of Jesus Christ atoned for their sins and completed the work of salvation and redeemed them from the bondage of sin and of the law. So I believe what Jesus is simply saying here is those that believe that I am God manifest in the flesh, and those that believe that my blood is the propitiation and the sacrifice that saved them from their sins, those who believe that are currently in possession of eternal life. He's simply saying in another way, those that believe have eternal life, hath currently in possession of eternal life, and that's the same group that he's referenced, again, many other times throughout the chapter, that he says here at the end of verse 54 as well, I will raise him up at the last day. So salvation is not a buffet with the flesh of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ laying out before us, and we need to pick up that flesh and drink that blood so we can gain eternal life. No, Jesus is just simply describing the characteristics of those of his children that do believe on him and that are currently in possession of eternal life, those that eat of his flesh in the sense that they believe that he is God manifest in the flesh, and they drink of his blood by believing that his blood was the atonement that was shed for the remission of their sins. So now in verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. It doesn't say that he that chooses to eat my flesh and drink my blood will get in me, will begin to or may dwell in me. No, that is just simply an evidence. Again, those that believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and those that believe that his blood was the means of remission of sins for them, those, notice, dwelleth in me and I in him. So those that are displaying this characteristics of believing on me, they currently dwell in me and I currently dwell in him. And that's again in line with what he said previously, that those hath eternal life. They're not performing that action to get eternal life, but they are evidencing in an external way by belief in Jesus Christ that I dwell in them and they dwell in me. Verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So we've seen that blood is the life of the body, and then we also know that bread is fuel for us to maintain life as well. If our blood quit pumping and we didn't eat any more food, at some point either one of those things would cause us to die. So what Jesus is simply saying here is, I am the life. I am the spiritual blood that's pumping through your veins that is sustaining your spiritual life. And also, I am your bread that is giving you physical strength and sustenance day in and day out. I am your bread and I am your blood in that sense. And if that's the case, and you believe that I was God manifest in the flesh, and you believe that my blood did save you from your sins, then you are currently eating of my flesh and drinking of my blood, and you are currently in possession of eternal life. So the focus here is that the blood and the bread are the means of life, and Jesus is just simply saying in another way that I am the life. And that's what he concludes this by saying here in verse 58, right? He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. In other words, if you eat of me, if you are sustained in this life by the bread from heaven, which is Jesus Christ, then you shall live forever. You are a child of God. You are currently in possession of eternal life, and no person can take that eternal life from you. Now, in regards to this bread, in a much more practical sense, Jesus is the bread that we need to be eating of day by day. Jesus is our life, but also we need to be partaking of that life. We need to be eating at his table of fellowship, not his table of relationship or his table of the offer of eternal life, but the table of communion and fellowship with the Lord. Because if we isolate ourselves from the presence of God and we're not eating of his bread, praying and reading his word and meditating upon the things of God on a perpetual basis, we will become malnourished and partake of a famine here in this world. And we certainly don't want to get to that point. But I believe the consistent point that Jesus is addressing here in verses 53 to 58 is that I am your life. I am your spiritual blood that pumps through your veins that sustains your life. I am your spiritual bread that you eat of and you sustain life and strength by me. And if you believe on me, then you are currently in possession of eternal life. And that's the same person, as he said multiple other times throughout the chapter, that's the same person I'm going to raise up at the last day. We hope you can continue to stay with us, and hopefully we'll conclude our thoughts on the sixth chapter of John in our next message. We hope this message and our going through this chapter has been profitable for you, and we pray the Lord will richly bless you until we have a time to meet with you again. May God bless you all.